Okay, we're starting here on the top of Samach Bet Amud Aleph, seven lines down. The Gemara here is discussing Rav Ashi's proposal as to what the machloket between Rav Chisda and Rabbo is. He suggests that they're arguing in the pasuk of Nirtzalo the Chaper Alav. So the Nirtzalo the Chaper Alav, what is the Chaper Alav or the comparison? So he suggests that Rabbo believes the Chaper Alav is they have to have a bar kapara that is similar to him in nature in order to be a problem of Shinui Ba'alim. On the other hand, Rav Chisda says that even the Arel can be a bar kapara, Hoil, the Ibai Mitake Nafshe, because he has the ability to, in the end, change his status. Since it's within his control to change his status, therefore it's as if he has the status of a bar kapara, as if he's a bar chiyuva with regards to the Korban HaPesach. So now we start the question of the Gemara, Mitle Rav Chisda Hoil. Does Rav Chisda really hold of this principle of Hoil? Because we saw already earlier in the Masechta back on Daf Memhal, when we discussed the issue of Eruv Tavshilin, that we actually had a machloke between Rabbo and Rav Chisda as to why you're allowed to cook or prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Rabbo's opinion is, Hoil o Mikle Orchim. The possibility that guests might show up allows you to cook. Because of that possibility, we say that possibility says that whatever you cook now, whatever you did now, is possibly going to be utilized on Yom Tov itself. And that permits the cooking. And then whatever you have left over, you take into Shabbat. That's Rabbo's opinion. Rav Chisda doesn't think that Hoil works. And Rav Chisda believes that min haTorah, Yom Tov making the Shabbat. From the Torah, you're allowed to cook and prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat. We had a Kanat Chachamim or Gzirat Chachamim not to do it, in order that people don't also do it from Yom Tov to Chol. But otherwise, it's totally permissible. But Rav Chisda does not subscribe to Hoil. So actually, what turns out over here, the way Rav Ashi is explaining their machloket, is that their opinions are reversed. Rabbo over here is not subscribing to Hoil. Rav Chisda is subscribing to Hoil. So how do I reconcile between their opinions here and their opinions with regards to Eruv Tavshilin, or the ability to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbat? That's what the Gemara says. Mi ilei de Rav Chisda Hoil. V'ha itmar. Didn't we have the statement of a ofim Yom Tov l'chol? Someone who cooks, bakes from Yom Tov to a weekday. Rav Chisda amar loket. Rav Chisda says you get makot for that. You're cooking on Yom Tov for a reason that is not ochel nefesh, which is not one of the permissible reasons to cook or bake on Yom Tov. Rabbi Amar, ain't a loket. Rabbi says, you don't get makot. Why not? Rabbi Amar, ain't a loket. Amrinan, hoil big, mikle le orchim, chazile. The fact that there's a possibility that guests could show up on that Yom Tov makes it that your cooking today was not totally unnecessary. It wasn't not for ochel nefesh. There's a possibility guests show up, and that possibility is enough to take away the problem of cooking or baking on Yom Tov that could be left over until Chol. Hashanami chazilei. Fellow lucky, so to over here, it's ro'oi for him and he should not get malkot. Chisda amar loke, lo amrin en ho'il. Chisda says you get malkot, we do not invoke this principle of ho'il. So now we have Rabba saying ho'il there and not saying ho'il over here, and then Rav Chisda just the opposite. So how do we reconcile? So where it says, Bishlama deraba deraba lokasho, Rabba's opinion we can reconcile. Hocha mechuser ma'aseh, hadam lo mechuser ma'aseh. The difference being, how much or how far-fetched is the ho'il? Back there, by the case of Eruv Tavshilin, he cooked, he baked, the food is all ready. The only thing that has to happen is that the guests have to show up. There's no action that he has to take at this point in time to facilitate that happening. It is either they do show up or they don't show up. So to say ho'il, that's fine. Over here, with the arel, that's not simply saying, well, because he could be a bar chiyuva. The only way he can be a bar chiyuva is he gets himself a brit milah. He has something within his control that's a masa, which is an action that he would have to do in order to become a mahul. So that's something that you don't say ho'il. If you want to say ho'il, get the brit milah, and then we're done. We don't say ho'il because he could do a brit milah. That's something that is lacking a masa. There's an action between him and the possibility of the outcome. So that's why we would differentiate in these cases. Your question is a fair question. It has to do with, actually, the sugya of asmachta lokanya as well, which is the sugya of whether when we have kinyanim. When you have something within your control, are you more likely to make a kinyan? Or when something is totally out of your control, are you more likely to make a kinyan? The Gemara in general believes that if something is totally out of your control, then you probably have gemirat adat, and you say, I understand the possibilities, I understand what's happening, and I'm gomer dat, that I know I can't control it. And since I can't control it, you resign yourself. You resolve yourself to accept the outcome. On the other hand, where you think you have control over it, then a person is less likely to give up control and say, yeah, whatever happens, happens. So when it's within your control, when it's within your ability to do it, we see that as being less likely to happen. All right. Now, again, that's just within the Gemara Tadat or the thought process of the individual. But I think you could apply the same thing over here, which is that if you have the chance of guests showing up, we're not talking about the probability of guests showing up. We're just talking about the possibility of guests showing up. Guests showing up is totally out of your control in some sense. Right, so Rosh Hashanah doesn't work only because of Yom HaRichtah, but you're right, on any other Yom Tov, what's the possibility of that happening? Again, from the side of probability, it's unlikely. Now, in their day, the probabilities were probably different, and there are poskim who want to say that it doesn't apply to us today, because guests don't show up by us, and whole Mikle Orchim is not relevant to us at all. The possibility that it doesn't work today at all. Now, most of the Achronim reject that and say it still does apply today, but you can understand why there's that tension. Today we don't have unexpected guests all show up all of a sudden on the second day of Yom Tov. So there really is something to speak about in terms of Hoel Mikle Orchim. But again, just from the abstract standpoint, even though maybe the probabilities are lower that guests would show up, then you would give yourself a brit milah. Nevertheless, because you do have to do absolutely nothing for the guests to show up, we consider that to be a possibility or a more likely possibility. Again, not from the percentage perspective, but the fact that you are now out of the picture.
All impediments have now been removed, and there's nothing left standing in the way of this outcome happening.
It's in God's hands. And when it's in God's hands, say ho'il. But if something's within your control to do it and to take the action, then even though the probability is higher, nevertheless, since you haven't taken the action, we consider that to be a much more far-fetched outcome. The fact that you could do a brit milah, but you haven't done it, then why should we say that it's as if it's done? Because you have control to do it. You could do it, and you haven't. The fact that you haven't already is an indication that it's less likely to happen.
Isn't there also another factor in this case, and that the fact that the person is IRL is usually...
Right, yes.
Whatever.
Correct. You are correct. It happens to be in our case itself that the IRL is very unlikely to carry out the brit milah because the danger that was involved with it. You are correct, but the Gemara, as well as the Rishonim, give broad application to this statement of Rabbah, and they say anytime it's mechusar maaseh, Rabbah doesn't hold of ho'il. So that would be even in cases where that danger was not apparent. You're right, in our specific case, it happens to be that it's even less likely because of that. Just from the abstract standpoint, being in control and not taking that action makes it less likely. Look at it as being less likely in that situation. So now, that was Rabbah's explanation. El d'r'chista, d'r'chista kasha. How we're going to explain and reconcile Rav Chista's position. Amrei, ki lately the Rav Chista ho lekula lechumra itle. When Rav Chista says I don't subscribe to the position of ho'il, that's only when it's a leniency. In the case of a ofe yom tov lechol, that's a leniency. He's not going to get malkot. So over there, he does not apply ho'il. Over here, in our case, it's going to turn out to be a chumra. If we apply ho'il over here, then this individual is going to lose his carbon of pesach. The other individual who didn't bring the carbon of pesach, we're going to say that it was shinui balim. It ruined the Karban Pesach, and now he's going to have to bring another Karban Pesach. That's the Chumrah. So when you want to apply Ho'il, we will apply it the Chumrah. Now what's interesting over here is, and as Tosafot points out, that can't be the principle d'oraita. In a Torah, you can't say Ho'il applies only the Chumrah and not the Kula. So it's clear that Rav Chista believes that Ho'il does work, but then Midrabanan, he says it doesn't apply the Kula, it does apply the Chumrah. So now what you have is in a situation here where you have a din d'rabbanan of ho'il, or we're choshesh for ho'il, and then he says bring another carbon of Pesach. How could he ask someone to bring a second carbon of Pesach based on the fact that he's being machmir for ho'il mid'rabbanan? He's saying, oh, the shinu balim wrecks your carbon of Pesach, which it really didn't, but it does because we're choshesh l'chumra of ho'il, and now you have to bring another carbon of Pesach. You already brought a carbon of Pesach. How does that work? So Tosafot over here says, lo'i kevin de lo'i zrok adam eni yotzei, umudalatet b'acher. Because over here, once we have Shinui Balim be a problem for the Karban HaPesach, they're going to stop doing this Karban HaPesach. They're never actually going to finish the Karban HaPesach. It was shechted, but it was done in the wrong manner. It was done for a Shinui Balim. And because it was done with Shinui Balim, it ruined the Karban HaPesach. They're going to throw the Karban HaPesach out. They're not going to finish it. So now, your obligation to bring the Karban HaPesach is still outstanding. You never brought the first Karban HaPesach. So we're not asking you to bring another Karban HaPesach, because the first one never qualified to be a Karban HaPesach. So that's why even midrabanan over here, we could force you to bring another Karban HaPesach. So amalei marzut shebrei de mamari ravina. Tani, ho'il ve'orla poselet, ve'tuma poselet. Let's look at our braita that we quoted. If you remember, we had the braita that Rabba brought as a proof to his position before. And Rabba bringing the braita, it was a somewhat cryptic braita that ended off with hamalomar zot. So Rabbi interpreted it his way, Rav Chista interpreted it his way, and then we came up, each one of them, with their proof to their position. And Rav Ashi tried to undermine both of their positions by saying you misunderstood the pasuk of Bechol Arel Yilo Yochabo. Now going back to that brayta, it said in that brayta, Hova Orla Poselet V'Tuma Poselet. Gemara says, what is Arel like? Is it more similar to Tuma'a? Or is it more similar to Zman, meaning Machshevet Pigul? That was what Gemara wanted to know. Is Arel more like something that's a psul in every other Korban, Pigul? Or is it more like Tuma, which is only a problem by Korban HaPesach? So that's the brayta statement. And so that's what Ravina is coming back to discuss. Tani, however, or la poselet v'tuma poselet. Ma tuma lo asaba mixa tuma kechol tuma. By tuma, if a portion of it is tamei, the whole thing is not tamei. Af or la lo asaba mixa or la kechol or la. So too, by or la, we're going to say if only a portion of them are arelim, then it's not pasul. Only when all of them are arelim is a problem. Hey, hi tuma hechi dami. What is the case of tuma that we're trying to compare it to? Ilema b'tumat gavrei. When you're talking about the tuma, the individual. Tuma, in general, when it comes to korbanot, can manifest itself in one of two ways. One is the individual who is bringing the korban is tamei, and therefore they cannot partake in the korban. Or the problem is that the meat or the basar, the korban itself became tamei, which is called tumat basar. So he says first, what, you want to say this is tumat gavre? Mai lo asa mixa tuma kechol tuma. What does it mean if there is only some of them that all of them are like this? Deika arba'a v'chamisha gavre tmeim. If you have four or five people that are tmeim, and you have four or five people that are tohrim. So the group or individuals here, there are 10 people that are associated with this Korban HaPesach. Five of them are tmeim, five of them are tohrim. So we say those that are tmeim, don't ruin it for that are tohrim. That's what it would be understanding. Garbei Allah Nami. Right, so what would you say by Orla? Halo Pasle, so too by Orla. If you have five people that are mahul and five people that are elim, they don't ruin the Korban HaPesach. Ditznan. Our Mishnah, Lemulin, Vale Arelim, Kasher. If you check the Korban for both Arelim and Mulin, then it works. It's not a problem. So, Mishnah Tuma, de Pshitele, or Mishnah Orla, de Misvekele. Why is the Gemara so certain that by Mixed at Tuma, it doesn't ruin it? But by Mixed Orla, they're looking for a solution, they're looking for an answer. What's different about Tuma versus Orla? Breita takes it for granted that by Tuma, we know for sure that if you have five Tmeim and five Torim, totally fine, the Korban. By Orla, if you have five Arelim and five Min, then we don't know what the answer is, and we're trying to figure that out. What is so obvious by Tuma that is not so obvious by Mila? So that's his question based on what we've looked in the Breita. So why is there any difference? Ella, what are you going to have to suggest? That it's talking about Tumat Basar. By Tumat Gavre, if you're talking about the Tumat of the Gavre, it doesn't make any sense that you know more about Tuma than you know about the problem by Orla. They're both the same problem, which is a lack of people who can eat the Korban HaPesach. And their problem or heter should come from the same pasuk. And therefore, it shouldn't be an issue for either of them, or it should be an issue for both of them. You shouldn't have any more information about one or the other. So what are you going to suggest now? We're talking about tumat basar. The brayta meant, let's compare it to tumat basar. Tumat basar meaning the korban itself became tamei. Umay lo asa ba mixa tumat kachol tumat. De'ilu itmei chad mei averim. Hai de'itmei sarfinle. V'idach hachlinle. If you have a korban of Pesach, if one of the limbs became tamei, you burn it, get rid of it. And the remainder of the korban Pesach remains fine. It's good. So my ukimta. So now what did you suggest now? We're talking about tumat basar. Okay, so you say that the breita is talking about tumat basar. Ema seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of the breita? The breita says, danin davar sheino heg b'chol azvachim, davar sheino heg b'chol azvachim. We said before, it's more likely to compare orla to tum'a than it is to compare orla to pigul or mechuser zman. Why is that? Because orla and tum'a have a common denominator by Korban HaPesach, which is, they're both a problem only by Korban HaPesach. They're not a problem by other korbanot. We said before, by other korbanot, that a tamei or an arel can send their korban in, and they're yotzei with that korban because they do not have to eat it. Eating the korban is not essential by any other korban except the Korban HaPesach. Therefore, tamei and arel are problematic by Korban HaPesach because of the need or the necessity to eat the Korban HaPesach. So we said that that's why Tuma and Orla are really in the same category. They both have the same status with regards to Korban HaPesach. Versus Pigol, Machshev Pigol, which applies to all Korban, not just Korban HaPesach. Every Korban has that. So it makes more sense to compare the Tuma and the Orla than it is to compare the Orla to the Pigol. That was the bright, that's what the bright suggested. So now my Tuma. Which tumah were you talking about? Idem a tumat basar. If you say that the bright is talking about tumat basar, what do you mean it's not applicable to all korbanot? Tumat basar applies to all korbanot equally. I mean that just like the korban of Pesach, the basar can become tamei, so to any other korban that you bring, the basar can become tamei. That's not a difference. We know that Tumat HaGuf or Tumat HaGavra, there is a difference. And the individuals bringing the Karbanis Tameh, there is a difference between Pesach and other Karbanot. But with regards to the Basar, the Karban itself becoming Tameh, there's no difference between Korban Pesach and any other Karban. El Up Shita must be that we're talking about Tumat Gavra in the latter half of the Braita. So what does it mean that Tuma and Arel have a similar common denominator? Is Dilu b'chol zvachim Arel b'tamei mishalchim karbanotam. As we mentioned numerous times, that an Arel and Tamei can send their karbanot when it comes to other karbanot. Dilu Pesach Arel b'tamei mishalchim pischem. They can't send in their Pesach because they're not ra'oi la'achila. So sending it in doesn't solve their problem. They're still not ra'oi to achila. So Gemara says, Reisha b'tumat basar. Now the way you're explaining the Braita, the first half of the Braita is talking about tumat basar, b'seifa b'tumat gavre. And the latter half of the Braita is talking about tumat gavra, which seems to be somewhat insistent in the logic of the Braita. So I'm in. That's right. Ein ochanami. Shame tumat kaparech. We're talking about the category of tumat. Category tumat. Sometimes it has application by tumat gavre. Sometimes it has application by tumat basar. So in the ratio, it's talking about tumat basar, about mixat tuma and kol tuma. That's the ratio. The latter half is talking about tumat gavre, when the individual is tameh versus another carbonate when the individual is tameh. So yes, we're talking about different forms of tuma, but it's the category of tuma, and that's fine. Where it says, v'ibay tema, seifanami b'tumat basar. Oh, seif is also by tumat basar. Ah, how is that different between korban pesach and shar carbonate? There's two at the basar applies to all carbonot. The difference is, mana enu heg b'chol zvachim, til b'chol zvachim ben shnitma chelev u'basar kayam. Ben shnitma basar v'chelev kayam zorekat adam. We had this machloket, it comes up numerous times in Shas, which is what happens to a korban when portion or parts of the korban get lost or are ruined somehow. So president, they shech the korban, and all of a sudden, whatever reason, the chelev, which is supposed to go on the mizbech, or the basar, which is going to be eaten by the kohanim, it gets ruined somehow. So can he continue to process this korban? Can they do the zrikat adam for this korban? It sounds like that you need to have basar or chelev around in order for you to continue with the korban to do zrikat adam. So normally in any other korban, as long as there's some achila left, there's some sort of consumption left. Now consumption can be in one of two ways. Human consumption, which is that you eat the basar, or consumption of the mizbeach, which eats the chalavim. So as long as one of those two items is still extant, is still around, then we're okay to do zrikat hadam. And that's what the Gemara just said. B'chol ha'zvachim ben shenitma chelev u'basar kayam. But the chelev was ruined by coming tameh, and the basar is still around. Ben shenitma basar, whether the basar became tameh v'chelev kayam, and the chelev is still there, zrikat hadam. You're allowed to continue processing the korban and do zrikat hadam. Now this is all according to the opinion that you need the chelev and the basar to do the korban. There are others, another opinion, another Tana who says you don't need it at all. So that's not relevant. We're referring to the one who says that you need chelev or basar around to do zrikat hadam. V'ilu b'pesach, nitma chelev basar kayam zrikat hadam. By Pesach, if the chalavim came tamei, but the basar is still around, go ahead, you can continue. Nitma basar v'chelev kayam, on the other hand, basar becomes tamei. And the chelev is still extant, and it was a rekat adam, you can't go forward with the korban. Again, this is a unique part of the korban of Pesach, a unique property of the korban of Pesach, that the achila is so central. The achilat adam is so central to the korban, that if you don't have the basar, you cannot do the zrikat adam. So even in tumat basar, there's a difference between korban Pesach and other korbanot. By other korbanot, if the basar becomes tamei, you can continue processing the korban on smach of the chalavim, based on the consumption of the chalavim. By korban Pesach, that's not true. By Korban HaPesach, the chalavim are not enough to continue with the Korban. You need the basar to continue with the Korban. And the basar becomes tameh, ruined Korban Pesach. So that is something that is unique about Tumat Basar. That's unique to the Korban HaPesach. So now Gemara says, okay, Ramai Ukimta b'Tumat Basar. So now you solve the first statement in the Braita, which is, what we were talking about, Mixat Tuma and whole Tuma. That was talking about Tumat Basar. What about the fact that you compared Arel to Tuma, that they're unique properties in Korban Pesach? That we also explain by Tumat Basar. There is a unique property about Tuma of the Basar by Korban Pesach. Well, wait a minute. There's another part to the Braita. Eima Seifa. Done in Davar Shelo Hutar Mechlalo, Mi Davar Shelo Hutar Mechlalo. Maybe we should compare people to Arel, which have no dispensations. There are no exceptions to the rule that an Arel or Pigol can be accepted as a Korban. Now obviously, as Tosfot points out, that means within the context of Korban Pesach. Because it's true that Arel and every other Korban can send its Korban. So there is a heter and other Korbanot for the Arel. So we're saying, no, within the framework of Korban Pesach, Pigol is never Mutar, and Arel is never Mutar. There's no exception to that rule. But there is an exception, Ba'al Tochiak Tuma, Shari Hutra Mechlala. Tuma sometimes is Mutar by Korban Pesach, which is that Pesach Abab Tuma. When you have Rovat Zibur, that's to make you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach Bit Tuma. So that was the last line of the Braita. Now, Babai, what type of Tuma are you speaking about here? Ilema b'tumat basar. If you're talking about tumat basar, hecho hutra. Where is there a heter for tumat basar by korban pesach? The only heter is that if the individuals are tameim, then we say everybody brings their korban pesach because they are all tameim. The tzibur is tamei. That's based on the pasuk which says that if an individual is tamei, then it gets postponed to pesach sheni. From that, the Gemara darshins that only an individual gets postponed to pesach sheni, not the whole tzibur. You can't have the tzibur postponed to pesach sheni, only individual. From that, the Gemara says, what happens if the tzibur is all tamei? They do pesach rishon, and that's it, a pesach haba bitumah. But that's talking about individuals who are tmeim. We have a dispensation that says, do it bitumah. Hei chehutra mechlala, bitzibur. And where's the head to mechlala? Is when you have the whole tzibur bitamei, or the rovat tzibur is tamei. So now, reisha bitumat basar, seifa bitumat gabre. It's going to turn out is that the first two sections of the Braita are talking about tumat basar, and the last section of the Braita is talking about tumat gabre. Again, in, yes, shem tumah kaparich. Same answer that we gave before, which is, it's within the category of tumah. So within the category of tumah, we have these special dinim by korban pesach, and within the category of tumah, we also have this special din by korban pesach, which is that there is a dispensation to use it. Not always that we're talking about the same tumah. We're talking about sometimes tumat basar, sometimes tumat gabri, but within the category of tumah. Ibai dema, kula b'tumat basar. The entire braita is talking about tumat basar, v'heichu hutra. When is there a hutra mechlala? B'tumat pesach. Wait a minute. What's interesting is that when a Pesach is a Ba B'tumah, we already said before that the essential part of the Pesach is eating the Korban Pesach. So what happens in a situation when the Rovat Sibor is Tamei and they bring the Korban Pesach B'tumah? Then do they eat the Korban Pesach B'tumah? The answer is yes, because otherwise don't bother bringing the Korban Pesach. There is no Korban Pesach without eating it. So if you're allowed to bring the Korban Pesach B'tumah, that means that we also allow you to eat the Korban HaPesach B'tumah. So now you said to me, Hutar Mechala? Yes, even when the Korban HaPesach is Tamei, the Basar is Tamei, we're going to allow you to eat it. So that is a possibility over here. Okay, you made a lot of assumptions there. The answer is, based on the last statement you made, which is yes, that because Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, that the Tumah should not be a preventative measure for us doing the Korban HaPesach. That's the last step in the process. What you have to do is you have to get to the first steps of the process. Number one is that you assume where you know where Makom HaMizbeach is. That you can go into the Mikdash and find the Makom HaMizbeach. And based on the fact that you can find the Makom HaMizbeach, now you can bring a Korban. Number one. Number two is, even if you find the Makom HaMizbeach, could you be Makriv Korbanot? Because we don't have the Mikdash. You need the walls of the Mikdash. You need some sort of consecration of the area of the Mikdash in order to bring Korbanot on the Mizbeach. So you have to go over those two first problems, which are, number one, knowing the Makom HaMizbeach. There are others who say you don't need to know Makom HaMizbeach because Tamei Shlomo Melech is Makdish Kol HaZarah to be used for that area. So if you have the broad perspective of where it is, it should be fine. Secondly, you have to come to the assumption that you don't need any indication of where the Mizbeach was or where the Mikdash was and walls that define or delineate it in order to bring the Korban HaPesach, because we don't have that, obviously. So you should be able to bring it without it. Now, there were those in the late 1800s who suggested that that was the case, that we could overcome those two problems. The last is you have to overcome the problem of Kohanim, whether we have real Kohanim here today that are Miuchasim. Can a Kohen go in and do the Avoda based on the fact that he has a Mesorah, that he's a Kohen? Is that enough to allow him to be a Kohen to go do the Avoda? So again, you have a number of hoops to get through before you ever get to the Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. But you're right, there were those that argued, and argued vehemently, that they should reinstate the Korban HaPesach, that they should bring it back, and that the fact that Har HaBayit is there, and we should start bringing Korban HaPesach. What's to stop us from doing that? Right, so the last point which you make is also a relevant point, which is that do we really have the ability, meaning to go up there to Har HaBayit, as much as we think it's in our control, we really have ceded a lot of that control to the Muslim Waqf, and I don't think they would go quietly if a Korban HaPesach was brought. Every year, we try. Every year, there are a group of individuals who take up a nice Kevis Ben Shnato up the ramp, and they don't get very far before they're arrested. So the logistics of doing it are very difficult, but technically, what you're saying could be true. If you get through all the other hoops to get there, it might be possible to bring a Korban HaPesach. It's the one Korban that could get over all these problems and maybe allow us to bring a Korban. All right. And Pesach Haba Bidma. Because we have a Mishnah that a Pesach is brought b'tumah, nechal b'tumah, is inim b'tumah. Shlo ba mitchilato el l'achila. The whole purpose of the Korban HaPesach is to eat the Korban HaPesach, as we said before. So therefore, if there's a heter to b'tumat gavro, there's also a heter of tumat basar, to eat it when it is tamei. Right now, moving on to another topic. That Ravina was just discussing the Braita, trying to get through the Braita, understanding what was the meaning behind the Braita. We're talking about tumat gavro, we're talking about tumat basar. Let's just understand it based on the context in which we are speaking over here. So, Meitir Rav Huna, Braita Rav Yeshua. HaPesach Shavra Shnato, a Pesach whose year has passed. Now, the Korban of Pesach is brought from the Tzon. It's brought from flock animals. That can be either a keves, can be a sheep, or it can be an eiz, a goat. But the requirement is that it has to be within its first year of life. It has to be ben shana. So that means that truthfully it has to come as a lamb or as a kid, in that it's a young goat or a young sheep that is brought. If the year has passed, then the Korban of Pesach is no longer valid Korban of Pesach, because even if you took it or mafrish it to be a Korban Pesach before its year is up, if its year passes, by the time you get to Pesach, it's not good as a Korban of Pesach. Now, we said before, I'm giving you a lot of information here, which the Gemara will get to later on, which is that we said before that a Pesach is really a modified Shlamim. What ends up happening to every Pesach when it doesn't work as a Pesach is it turns into a Shlamim. That's what we said before, and it now is no longer a Pesach, it is a Shlamim. What you need to do to make it a Shlamim is somewhat of a question the Gemara will get to later, whether by default it becomes a Shlamim, you have to do absolutely nothing, or do you now have to have in mind that it is not a Pesach, meaning that if you actually think it's a Pesach, you wreck the Korban. So now we have your case, which is a Pesach she'avra shnato. Pesach whose year has passed, v'shachato bizmano shmo. And then he goes ahead and he shechs it on Erev Pesach l'shem Pesach. V'chein ha'shochet ha'chirim l'shem Pesach bizmano. Or, in a case where ha'chirim shechted l'shem Pesach bizmano, ha'chirim here means shlamim. You got a shlamim in Erev Pesach, and you shechted l'shem Pesach bizmano. In that case, Rabbi Eliezer posel, Rabbi Eliezer says it's no good. Rabbi Yeshua machshir. Rabbi Yeshua says that these are fine. Taima bizmano. Case here is because it was brought on Erev Pesach. Ha shalom bizmano. Had it been not an Erev Pesach, kasher, then it would have been fine. Right, so let's take a step back and understand what is happening over here. Let's look at Pesach. We'll look at the Pesach in isolation. You have a Pesach that's a good Pesach, a regular Korban Pesach that you're bringing in on Erev Pesach. You brought it, it's a Ben Shana, it qualifies, you're doing everything right. If you bring a Pesach l'shem Pesach on Erev Pesach, then everything's good. You have a fine, good Korban. All of a sudden, you bring it on Erev Pesach, and you bring it the Shem Shlamim. You bring it for a Shlamim. What do we have here? No good. Because you had what we called Shinoi Kodesh. You did Shinoi Kodesh, and we said before that a Pesach has to be brought Lishmo, Lishem Pesach. So if you bring a Pesach, Lishem Shlamim, you wrecked the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. So a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, you do it right, you do Lishem Pesach, good. Do it Shalom Lishem Pesach, no good. We saw in the Gemara earlier that what happens if it's not Pesach? It was earlier. It was prior to Pesach. It was Purim time. And you bring that Korban of Pesach, the din was just the opposite. If you brought the Pesach l'shem Pesach, it was no good. Because it's not Zman of Pesach. And you're trying to bring a Pesach l'shem Pesach, doesn't work. No good. But if you bring the Pesach l'shem Shlamim, no problem. The Pesach is again a modified Shlamim. So in the end, if you make it into a real Shlamim, it works. Because it's not Erev Pesach. It's a Shlamim. Underlying it, it is a Shlamim. So therefore, it's good. So that's a regular, kosher, good Korban HaPesach. On Erev Pesach. You bring it the Shem Pesach, it's good. You bring it the Shem Shlamim, no good. Bring it not on Erev Pesach. You bring it, again, I would say before Pesach. It happens to be true even after Pesach. It would be also the question before and after has to do whether you have to remove the Shem Pesach. Might be different. But if you bring it the Shem Pesach, it's no good. Because you can't bring a Pesach not on Pesach. Or Erev Pesach. If you do it the Shem Shlamim, then it is good. So that's a basic, that's the given piece. Now, what about a Pesach Shavar Shnato? Pesach that its years past is basically the equivalent of a Shlamim. So if you have a Shlamim, now if a Shlamim on Erev Pesach, you bring a Shlamim on Erev Pesach. If you bring an Erev Shlamim on Pesach and you do it the Shem Shlamim, fine. Why not? So Shlamim, you can bring a Shlamim on Erev Pesach. Shlamim the Shem Shlamim, totally fine. If you bring a Shlamim the Shem Pesach on Erev Pesach, machloket, Rabbi Eliezer ve Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer says, no good. Rabbi Yoshua says, it's just fine. Now, getting to Fred's question, I mean, what's going on here? How do they mess it up? It's a Pesach Shlamim. It happens to be that on Erev Pesach, there were a ton of Shlamim and a ton of Pesachim that were brought at the exact same time. That's something we're going to learn about, because you got you Dalit, which is the Korban that eaten in order to eat the Korban Pesach al Sova. So it turns out that there's a tremendous amount of Shlamim and Pesachim that are happening on Erev Pesach. So the likelihood of confusion is very high, which is that you could have a Korban Pesach messed up as a Shlamim, Shlamim as a Pesach, because those are the two Korbanot, and there are a lot of them being brought, of both of them at the same time. So now you have a Shlamim that you bring the Shem Pesach. Rabbi Eliezer says, no good. Rabbi Yeshua says, totally fine. It's okay. Then let's move out to not on Pesach. If you're not on Pesach and you have a Shlamim, you bring out the Shem Shlamim, of course, it's good, right? That's not a problem. You bring it on Pesach, shelo l'shem Pesach, you bring it, it's not for the shame of Pesach, then everybody agrees. And that was Dub's question before. Everybody agrees that that's a good korban. If you bring a shlamim to l'shem Pesach, not on Pesach, that's fine. That's what we call shinui kodesh. Shinui kodesh doesn't ruin any other korban. If you bring a shlamim l'shem Pesach, totally fine, because you did change in the name, but a change in a korban, it doesn't ruin the korban. The only korban is ruined by the change in the name is a Pesach and a Chatat. Shlamim's not ruined by you changing it into a Pesach. So it's totally fine. That's the given. Now, the reasoning or the logic behind their reasons. So the logic behind Rabbi Eliezer is, he explains this in the first parak in Zvachim. He says, Pesach, whose leftover is brought as a Shlamim, if he shechs it, the Shem Shlamim, on Erev Pesach, Pasul. Shlamim, whose leftover is not a Pesach, then if you shechted l'shem Pesach on Erev Pesach, it certainly should be problematic. So that's basically what the logic is in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is. If I look at Karban Pesach itself, in the end, will end up as a Shlamim. Karban Pesach ends up as a Shlamim, and if you do it l'shem Shlamim on Erev Pesach, ruined. Everybody agrees it's ruined. So Shlamim, which cannot turn into a Pesach, Shlamim that can't turn into a Pesach, then certainly, over there, if you change it into a Pesach, an Erev Pesach, it's no good. That's Rabbi Eliezer's logic, and that's why he says that if you bring a Shlamim on Erev Pesach, l'shem Pesach, no good. Even though any other time, if you change the Shlamim into something else, it's fine. Uniquely, on Erev Pesach, it's problematic. Because if I look at it vis-a-vis a Korban Pesach, that's really about an Erev Pesach, it looks like it should get ruined. That's Rabbi Eliezer's logic to his opinion. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, says, wait a minute. What's the kol zevach that is shlo lishma is kasher? Chutz mi Pesach v'chatat. So what are you telling me over here? He brought a shlamim, he did a l'shem Pesach, it should be totally fine. Now, if you want to say that it was nishchat l'shem Pesach is a kal v'chomer, which is basically what Rabbi Eliezer just did, he said a Pesach that does turn into a shlamim, still if you bring it as a shlamim and erev Pesach it doesn't work, that a shlamim that doesn't turn into a Pesach, when you bring a l'shem Pesach, it certainly shouldn't work on erev Pesach. That was Rabbi Eliezer's logic. How does Rabbi Yeshua undermine that? He says, wait a minute, I have a different logic, which is, shalom bizmano. When it's not Erev Pesach, she'enu kasher lishmo, acherim kasherim lishmo, if you bring a Pesach itself, l'shem Pesach, no good. You bring it l'shem shlamim, good. Whereas by a shlamim, the shalom bizmano, whether you bring it l'shem Pesach, whether you bring it l'shem shlamim, it's totally fine. So what do you see? That just like acherim or kasherim lishmo, because shehu kasher l'shem acherim, the carbon of Pesach is kasher l'shem shlamim, not on Pesach. So too, the carbon shlamim is kasher l'shem Pesach, shelo bizmano. So if that's the case, your logic breaks down. Your logic breaks down is because Pesach and shlamim, they have a totally different din. Pesach, not on Pesach. You bring a Pesach on Purim, and you do l'shem Pesach, no good. You bring a shlamim on Purim, and you say it's l'shem Pesach, it's good. So you see a breakdown in that logic. There's no absolute, just because a Pesach is no good, l'shem Pesach, doesn't mean a shlamim l'shem Pesach is no good. When it's not on Zman Pesach. So on Erev Pesach, the same thing. Just like when you bring a Pesach l'shem shlamim on Erev Pesach, it's no good. That shouldn't impact the fact that a shlamim that's brought l'shem Pesach is good. Because we see that difference. Shalom bizmano.
Just like any other day.
Right. It should be, right. Exactly. For the shlamim, Erev Pesach is no different than any other day of the year. That's Rabbi Yeshua's logic. That's the Gemara in Zvachim. That's what it's quoting over here. That's just to get to the question. What's the question now? The question is on Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, which is, Taima bizmano. The reason is because it's Mana Pesach. Hash, v'lo bizmano is kasher. Rabbi Eliezer agrees that the problem here is that you bring a Shlamim l'shem Pesach on Erev Pesach. There's a problem. But had you brought this Shlamim l'shem Pesach any other time of the year, totally fine. Now, v'amai, Neima, ho'io ubizmano posel, shelo bizmano nami posel. If a shlamim brought on Erev Pesach is problematic, then why does Rabbi Eliezer say that a shlamim brought any other time of the year, the Shem Pesach is okay? Say, Hoil, had he brought it on Erev Pesach, it would have been bad. Then also, every other time of year, it should be problematic. You apply Hoil. If you really think that Hoil applies over here, and Rav Chista applies Hoil, why don't you apply it over here to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? If you do that, it would be that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion turns out to be, he should say that it's totally problematic, not just on Erev Pesach, it should be problematic all year round. So this would be a case of the Chumrah, because you would ruin the Korban of Shlamim all year round. So Amar Papa, Shani Hotam, it's different over there, Damar Kra. The Pasuk says, V'amartem Zevach Pesachu. Who? The Havyato. It remains a Korban HaPesach. The who? The Shum Acherim. A Korban HaPesach cannot be changed to something else. Lo Acherim Lishmo. But and other things can't be made into a Pesach. The logic is that the Pasuk tells us that you can't bring a Korban HaPesach l'shem Shlamim, and you can't bring a Shlamim l'shem Pesach. When does that apply? When is that true? That's at the time when you cannot bring a Pesach as a Shlamim, so too you cannot bring a Shlamim as a Pesach. When can you not bring a Pesach as a Shlamim? Bizmano, on Erev Pesach itself. So just like on Erev Pesach you can't bring a Pesach l'shem Shlamim, so too you can't bring a Shlamim l'shem Pesach. But, Shalom Bizmano, where if you bring a Pesach l'shem Shlamim, it's fine, then you're not going to say that a Shlamim brought l'shem Pesach is problematic. I mean that the two are correlated. And that's the logic here. You don't apply Hoi here because the Gezeirat HaKatuv is the Psul of the Shem Pesach only applies on Erev Pesach because the Psul of the Shem Shlamim to Pesach only applies on Erev Pesach. So that's the answer. And that's what the Gemara is saying here. Because the Pesach says, Martin Zerah Pesach, who baviato? Lo hu l'shum acherim, lo achim l'shmo. Bizmano shu pasul l'shum acherim, achim psulim l'shmo. In the Erev Pesach, where a Korban Pesach cannot be made into a Shlamim, so too a Shlamim cannot be made into a Pesach. Shlo bizmano, not on Erev Pesach, shu kasher l'shum acherim, where it, the Pesach can be brought l'shem Shlamim, no problem, then acherim k'shem l'shmo, then Shlamim can be brought l'shem Pesach without a problem. So even though, yes, normally we would apply Hoil, over here there's no application of Hoil because the Pasuk differentiates between Zmano and Shlo Zmano. There's no reason to apply Hoil because the Pasuk delineates between Erev Pesach and after Pesach. Rav Simlai after the Kamei Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Simlai came before Rabbi Yochanan. Amalei nitnali mar Sefer Yuchasin. Teach me Sefer Yuchasin. Now Sefer Yuchasin is a Tanaic work that basically went through all the lineage, all the individuals who are born in Tanakh, and basically kept a listing of all of those individuals. It helps explain very difficult psukim throughout Tanakh, where there seem to be contradictions between who's the child of this, who's the child of that, and maintains that it's Rabbi Yuchasin. So here, Rabbi Simlai comes to Rabbi Yochanan, and he wants to learn this Tanaic work. So, Amalei Mechanat, where are you from? He says, Amalei Milud, I come from the city of Lud. Where do you live now? You come from Lud, where do you live? In Arda. Amalei, Ein, here we have an Arab Gemara Nidonim, but the Gemara should really be Ein Shonim. Ein Shonim, lo Ludin, v'lo Naradim. We don't teach Ludim, and we don't teach Naradim. They're not, Rashi brings two interpretations over here, that they're not Mechasim. Sefer Yuchasin says people from Lud and people from Narada are not Mechasim. So we're not going to teach them the Sefer Yuchasin. And he says, V'choch Chakain, Da'at, Milud, Motvech, Menarada. You have both of them. You have both problems. You're born in Lud, and you live in Narada. So certainly I can't teach you Sefer Yochasin. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is trying to push him away. He doesn't want to teach him this. And so he's trying to come up with an excuse why he doesn't have to teach him this material. So the excuse that he gave was that, you know what, you're from these locations. We don't teach that. Rashi again says either one is that he's just trying to push him away, or truthfully, that's the truth, that Lud and Narada are not Yochasin. So he said that, even though, again, that's not a good enough reason not to teach it to him, but that's why he said it. Kafya v'artze. He pressed on him, he pressured him until he agreed to teach it to him. He said, I want to learn it in 3 months. He says, I want to complete this in 3 months. Shakal kala patakbe. He took some sort of clod of earth or a rock and he throws it at him. He says, Ama bruya de bitu de Rabbi Meir. Bruya, who's the wife of Rabbi Meir, brate, the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. The daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan is the story in the beginning of Avodah Zarah as to what happened to Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan, what happened to Bruya, his sister, all the story there about the Gzeirot Malchut of the Romans because of what Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan was teaching Torah Berabim after the Gzeirah. So he was Nisraf Sefer Torah. What happened, his other daughter was put into a Kubat Zunot, and then later on they go in to rescue her. It's the whole story is there in Avodah Zarah. But Bruya is the wife of Rabbi Meir, the daughter of Chanina ben Trajan. So now, she was a big gun. Tatania, Tzlat Mea Shmaitata Abiyoma, she learned 300 memrot in a day, Begimu Mei Ravuta, from 300 different people. Vafilo Achei Lo Yatzta Yedei Chovata B'Tzlat Shin. Took her 3 years to finish Sefer Yuchasin. She was an incredible, gifted or talented in her ability to learn, and she learned a tremendous quantity, and still she was not able to complete Sefer Yuchasin in 3 years. V'anta Marit B'Tzlat Yarchein, you want to get it done in 3 months? No way, it's just not possible. So when he was taking part from him, or when he was leaving him, Rabbi Simlai says, Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, Rabbi, Ma ben lishmo, shalo lishmo, lo chlav, shalo lachlav. So why this Gemara is found here? It's because of this question that he posed him after he had spent time with him, he leaves with this question. So again, the Gemara before is just an introduction, now it gets to the core question, which is, In the Mishnah, we saw that if you did a part of the avodot lishma, and part of the mishlo lishma, carbon's no good. On the other hand, if you have some of the members of the chabura be people who can eat from the carbon of Pesach, some of them that cannot eat from it, kasher. So you want to know, what's the difference? Why, when there's a partial psul of lishma, is it no good? And when you have a partial psul of uchlin, then it is good. Why? Amalei, hol v'tzur b'dem rabbananat, since you're a young whippersnapper, b'chacham, tavei melacha. I'll explain it to you. Lishmo, v'shlo lishmo, psulo b'gufo. When you're talking about lishmo and shlo lishmo, the psul is in the guf. Now, again, the Gemara already differentiated and said it's not really a psul in the guf of karban, but the machshava that you have relates to the guf of karban. You're thinking about the karban itself. You're doing either l'shem Pesach, l'shem Shlamim. You have a thought about the karban itself. The problem of ochlim is not a problem inherently in the korban. It's not a machshava about the korban. It's a problem of the members of the chabura who are going to eat the korban. They're external to the korban itself. Lishmo, v'shlo lishmo, he brings another difference. Lishmo, v'lo shlishmo, yivshad v'arir isuro. When you have lishmo, shlo lishmo, how do you differentiate between which part of the korban is lishmo and which part of the korban is shlo lishmo? Meaning that you did part and part, how do you differentiate, how do you cut the carbon up now and divide between which part is good and which part is not good? You can't do that. When you have people who can't eat and cannot eat, you can separate them out. You can differentiate between the parties. Lishmo, as we said before, has application by all four of the avodot. Whereas, v'chlav shlo l'chlav enu bar ba'avodot. Doesn't apply all four avodot. We saw that before. There's ein machshevet ochlim ela b'shchita. Machshevet ochlim only applies to shchita because it's unique to the carbon of Pesach. And we learn from the pasuk, to chosu, that it only applies by shchita. Ochlim is only relevant, or machshevet ochlim is only relevant by shchita. V'shlov shlo l'shmo yeshno b'tzibur v'yachid. L'shma shlo l'shma has application both by korbanei yachid and by korbanei tzibur. You can bring a carbon tzibur to the shame olah, the shame chatash. You can bring it for the right or wrong reasons. The eating of the carbon doesn't have application by the tzibur like the yachid. By the yachid or by the carbon of Pesach, it is relevant. By any other carbon, it's not relevant. So it's not relevant by any other carbon yachid. It's also not relevant by any carbon tzibur. The eating of the carbon is not essential to the carbon succeeding. Ravashi says, psulo b'gufo, p'yev shar l'verer yisrael chada miltehi. Says the first two things that Rabbi Yochanan brought down are actually one issue, which is that the psul begufo and the inability to differentiate is because they're the same thing. Why is it considered to be an inherent problem in the carbon of Pesach? It's because you can't differentiate, you can't separate out the Isser. But not, the reason you can't separate the Isser is because the problem has to do with the korban itself. As it whereas by the ochlin, shlo ochlin, the problem is external to the korban. That's why you can differentiate. You can take apart and you can say these people are no good, these people are good. So the two are correlated. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says why there is a difference between shmo shlo lishmo versus ochlin and shlo ochlin. Shmo v'lo shlimo is no good, whereas ochlin shlo ochlin is good for this reason, that they really are different forms of psul, and since they're different forms of psul, therefore they have different outcomes in terms of their halacha. Amirami bar Rav Yehuda, Amirav, or sometimes it means Amirabi, yom shenigdas sefer yuchasin, from the day that the Sefer Yuchasim was put into Gniza, Tashash Kochan Shel Chachamim, it weakened the power of the Chachamim, V'keha Me'ori Nehem, and it dimmed the light of their eyes. So this is an expression that comes up in the Shas, which generally means that it was not good for the Chachamim. When they did this, we lost something. When they put into Gniza, now obviously they put in Gniza for a reason, but that when they put into Gniza, there was something detrimental about the fact that they put into Gniza. And that is one of two possibilities, which is Amr Mazutra, Ben Eitzel Le'Eitzel, Teino, Dalet Mea, Gamle de Drosha. That in Sefer Yuchasin, there were 400 camel loads worth of Droshot between this Eitzel. It's a Pasuk that is found in Divrei Yamim. And it says, Ubnei Eitzel. And then it says, his children, at the end of that parak, it also says the same thing again, and it seems to have changed. So that Sefer Yuchasin dealt with the problems in that parak, or the difference between the beginning and the end of that parak. So that was already addressed. Now that's gone, we lose out. So again, the two possibilities of why they lose out is either because they lost out on all these drashot, we lost out on a wealth of information of drashot, or the other possibility is that the chachamim were those that were yuchasin, and therefore they lost their standing or their stature from the sefer yuchasin, because now it was no longer available. All right, we're going to stop over here.